I'm going to bring you a message tonight on what I consider is the most neglected subject in the Word of God. Not only the most neglected subject in the Word of God, but perhaps the most misunderstood subject in the Bible, and one that is surrounded with more fanaticism than any other subject in the Word of God, and that fanaticism may be that which drives many of the conservative people to the other extreme. I refer tonight to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I said the most neglected subject in the Bible for this reason. I've been hearing sermons since I was a little boy and went with my mother to church in the little country church at the Forks of the Creek. I believe I have heard preachers from the great metropolitan center to the rural country preacher. I believe I could count on the fingers of one hand all the sermons I've ever heard on the Holy Spirit. I have in my library at home dozens of volumes of sermons on faith and repentance and heaven and hell and the new birth. I believe I could count on the fingers of two hands all the sermons I've ever read on the Holy Spirit. Not long ago, I picked up a hymn book with more than 400 hymns in it. Hymns of inspiration and invitation and exhortation. But out of more than 400 hymns, I found four that were dedicated to the Holy Ghost. And yet, beloved, we are dependent upon Him for our power, for our success. We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I want to bring you a very simple message tonight. It'll be sort of the ABCs of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The person and work of the Holy Spirit. Every time you find a dove in the Scriptures, you'll find a symbol of the Holy Ghost. I do not know why God uses a dove unless it's because of certain characteristics. Someone has said the dove is the only beast or bird in all of the world that has no method of defending itself. It has no weapon of self-defense. The only beast or bird. And if that be true, it might suggest to us tonight that Holy Spirit-filled people need not be worried about defending themselves. Why? Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. I have found that when I leave things in the Lord's hand, He handles it nicely. But when I take it into my own, I usually make a mess out of it. So I do not spend any time defending myself. You say, Dr. Lakin, don't you defend yourself? No. You say, a fellow said to me, I heard so-and-so about you. I said, you didn't hear half of it. It's 1,000 times worse than you heard it. If you only knew the truth, it would be terrible. Don't ever deny anything. Why? Because your friends don't need it. And your enemies will believe it anyway, no matter what you say. Amen? I saw a lady not long ago, and she said, Brother Lakin, a woman hurt my feelings. I said, you know why? She said, why? I said, because you're alive. If you had been crucified, you wouldn't have felt it, because dead people don't feel. But you were so much alive that you were so sensitive. You're sensitive and suspicious of everybody. Haven't you seen suspicious and sensitive people like that? Some people will be standing off talking and they'll say, now they're talking about me. Suspicious. I never suspicion anybody. I wonder sometimes if I have good sense. And she said, well, I'll tell you, Brother Lincoln, I just stood up for my rights. I said, your rights? I thought you were a Christian. She said, I am. Then I said, you don't have any rights. She said, I'll tell you right now, I just fired right back at her. I gave her a piece of my mind. I said, you better not give away too much. You haven't got much to spare. I met a preacher crying all over his sleeve. Said, somebody lied on him. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what do you praise God for? I said, it's not the truth, is it? He said, no. I said, well, blessed art thou when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. But he said, Brother Lincoln, I'm going to make them prove it, wouldn't you? I said, no, that'd ruin you. He said, well, it's not so. I said, they might prove it was. I said, you just let it alone and let the Lord handle it. Amen? He'll take care of it. Now, the other thing I'm told about the dove is this. It's the only beast of burden in all of the world that doesn't have a gallbladder. That might suggest to us tonight that there is no bitterness about the dove. And there ought not to be any bitterness about Holy Spirit-filled people. After Pentecost, he said, behold, how they love one another. Boy, if you'd see it today, it'd be, behold how they hate each other. That's one thing we need today. Did you know that? You can't hardly pick up a religious paper, a periodical that isn't given up in some manner, a method or way of cutting some other brother to pieces. And saying, I say that's of the devil, amen? I never go into a church and they're having a fuss, but what I always feel at home, because I know they're Baptists. Methodists need to laugh. You're afraid to fight. The bishop would cut your head off. You can't afford it. But let me say this to you tonight. Someone asked Abraham Lincoln once, after Pentecost, you know what? Behold how they loved one another. Someone asked Abraham Lincoln once why he never joined the church. Well, he said, my Bible says that God is a God of love. When I find a church where they love one another, I'll join it. When I find a church where they love one another, I'll join it. We're all divided and split up and hating each other. Let me say this to you. Bitterness. Bitterness. If we could get rid of the bitterness, take away from us the gossip and the sin. Amen? Young preacher said to me not long ago, Dr. Lincoln, how do you preach on separation? I said, well, I'll tell you how I do that. As long as a fellow sins like I don't bother him. But when he does something different than what I do, that's wrong. Amen? Did you know as long as a fellow just does like you do, he's all right. Amen? A fellow asked me, there came to my meeting down in Tampa, Florida the other night. And he said about so-and-so that I held a meeting for. And I said, we had a great meeting. He said, wonder if he's quit smoking yet. I said, I don't know. Have you quit drinking? I don't drink. I said, well, I just didn't know. You know, that's like a lady in my church said to me. She said to me, you know, that fellow wouldn't smoke, but he'd gossip about his brother, amen? You got to watch these things. And I didn't say it. Listen, if I do what everybody wants me to do, I'd have to wear a flat hat and have hooks and eyes on my coat. Let me tell you something, brother man. Let me tell you something. Whenever you begin to tie down on people laws that's too heavily to be borne, that's the thing about it. A fellow asked me not long ago, said, could I go to heaven and chew tobacco? And I said, yeah, but you'd have to go to hell to spit. Yes, what I'm saying. Just as long as a fellow sins like I do, that's okay, amen? It's like a lady in my church said, did you know Mrs. So-and-so had a card party? I said, no, I didn't. Well, she did, and she's president of the Missionary Society, and I think you ought to do something about that. I said, I suppose I should. That's terrible that she'd have a bridge party. That's awful. I said, I wonder if she gossiped about her neighbors while she had it. Now, that dear sister hadn't thought about that, had she? Amen? Let me tell you something. Uncle Bud Robertson said, when I was justified before I got sanctified, Uncle Bud claimed to be completely sanctified, and he's the only one I ever saw I thought was. One fellow told me that he is completely sanctified and hadn't sinned for 16 years, and I told him I didn't believe it. And he got mad. I knew he was lying then, or he wouldn't have gotten mad about it. Here's what I'm telling you, my friend. But Uncle Bud said, for years the birds had been singing and the bees had been buzzing and the honeysuckle had been growing all over the back fence of my soul. And one day I went into a railroad station and walked up to the window and said to the man, is this ticket good for a stopover? And Uncle Bud said, he said, no, it isn't. He said, I think it is. He said, no, it isn't. I said, I think it is. He said, no, it isn't. He said, I know it is. And he said, the birds stopped singing. I went over to the hotel and the Lord said to me, you didn't speak right to that man a while ago. And he said, I got up and came back over and walked up to the window and said, mister, I'm a preacher, but I didn't speak right to you a while ago. Won't you forgive me? And the man put his hand through the window, and we had a great shake, and he said, the birds started singing again. Let me tell you, my friends, Uncle Bud said, when I was justified before I was sanctified, he said, I was plowing one day, and the old mule wanted to go to dinner, and I wanted to plow. Uncle Bud said, I went around and got him by the bridle, and I kicked him in the ribs, and then I reached up and got him by the ear and pulled it down and bit it. And the old mule jerked loose and went running up the hill, and I went up the hill a-picking the mule hairs out of my teeth. And the devil come up and said, what are you going to preach about a Sunday, Bud? Then he said, I had to go to the brush and take some painkiller. Let me say something to you tonight. Tenderness, love. The dove is a very sensitive bird. And the Holy Spirit is very sensitive, and that's the reason he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's the thing. Now, in the Old Testament, Noah released a dove from the ark, and it went out and flew and to and fro, and then came back. Released the second time, he went out and returned with an olive leaf. Released the third time, he went out and returned no more because he found a permanent abiding place. Now, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was here upon special occasions. Anointing this one, writing the Bible, coming upon and using sometimes dumb animals at his own will. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was never here as an abider, only as a visitor. He came and he went. And for that reason he said, take not thy spirit from me. Then at the baptism of Jesus, he comes in the form of a dove and lights upon him and goes back into the heavens. And then at Pentecost, he comes like a rushing mighty wind to abide with us. How long? Forever. Bounded on the one side by Pentecost, bounded on the other side by the second coming of Christ. And between those two given points, the Holy Spirit is to be here in the earth. Dwelling where? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost? I read that one day, and I saw this. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body. Jesus had a body. The Holy Spirit has no body except mine. Then it's my pleasure, it's my privilege then to say, blessed Holy Ghost, let me furnish you a temple in which to live. Are you willing to furnish him a temple, the only house he has? And my God, what a housing shortage there is. Amen. Let me say this to you. Are you willing to say, blessed Holy Spirit, come and abide and live and possess this body. Let my eyes be yours, my tongue be yours, my hands be yours, live within this body. And you know what I think? I think he wants a pure vessel to live in. Let me tell you a good thing to say, Brother Lincoln, is it wrong for me to do this, or wrong for me to do that, or wrong for this habit, or wrong for this habit? Now, let me say this. Anything that's questionable is usually wrong. Anything that's questionable is usually wrong. So if there's anything questionable, stop now. If there is any doubt, stop now until that doubt is clear. And may I say this to you tonight? May I say this to you tonight? Blessed Holy Ghost, I will not ask you to live in an impure temple. Take it and make it thine. Holy thine. The Holy Spirit from Pentecost till His coming is to be here. So we don't have to ask God to send Him tonight, do we? I've heard people say, Lord, send the Holy Ghost. That's foolish. He's already here. Closer than the air you breathe, closer than the friend that's by your side. If you're a Christian, He's in you. He's in you. And I felt Him terrifically and tremendously near me in the past year as I've tried to preach His gospel. I've tried to be faithful too. When I went into the hospital in Lynchburg, Virginia, I hadn't been home but 3 days and 3 months. 3 days and 3 months. I'd only been home. I was literally exhausted. God said, it's time for you to come aside and rest a while. That's what I had to do. Now, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is a person. The same as God is a person. The same as Jesus is a person. I think I'd been preaching for a while before that really dawned upon me. I thought of the Holy Spirit like one of the attributes, love, mercy, justice, but I didn't think of Him as a real personality, the Holy Spirit Himself. He's not an it. Did you ever hear people refer to the Holy Spirit as it? I had a woman come shouting down the aisle in my meeting, holding up her hand. I believe in shouting. I don't believe in that kind of, you hold my baby while I shout. I don't believe in that. Woman said, I wanted to shout, but I was afraid Brother Lincoln wouldn't like it. I said, she didn't want to shout, or she wouldn't have thought what Brother Lincoln thought about it. She was coming down the aisle and holding up her hand, and I said, I just pulled up my chair and sat down, and I said, help yourself, honey. They've frozen you around here so long. I want you to have a good time. You can't hurt my sermon. It's like a freight train. I can pull her out on the sidetrack and uncouple her and kick out a few boxcars and hook her up and pull out again. It doesn't matter to me. But I said, watch that ass there in the aisle. It's awful slick. Amen. But she said, oh, Brother Lincoln, I've got it. I've got it. I said, got it. I don't have it. I have Him. The Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit Himself. Suppose I'd say to a lady, did your husband come tonight? No, it worked today. And it was too tired to come. You wouldn't refer to a person as an impersonal something, amen? Now let me say another thing. Every saved man and woman has the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if any man hath not the Spirit, he's none of his. Now, let me say another thing. By the same Spirit, we're all baptized into the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're hearing much these days about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence they said of the baptism is the gift of tongues. And that's not the evidence at all. Because he said, tongues shall cease. Amen. 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 Somebody asked me the other day, aren't you trying, aren't you seeking more tongue? I said, no, I'm seeking more bridle. That'll help me more than anything else. Did you ever hear these people today talk so much, that talk so much, they talk about the experience, the experience. Have you had the experience, the experience? They say very little about Him, about Christ. And they do very little personal work. They do very little soul winning. They do very little soul winning. Every saved man and woman has the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that divine act whereby when I believe upon Jesus Christ, that God places me in the body of Christ, and I am sealed. That's what it means to me. That I am His, and He is mine. and we become bones of his bones and flesh of his flesh. That, my brother, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say another thing. Every saved man and woman has the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say another thing. Fasten your seatbelts now. Every saved man and woman not only has the Holy Spirit, but every saved man and woman has all of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is a person, you don't receive an eye, an arm, or a limb of a person. You receive the person. You say, well, where is the difference? This is it. The Holy Spirit, you may have all of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit may not have all of you. It's one thing to have the King in the throne room. It's quite another thing to have the King upon the throne. And that's what we mean when we talk about being filled with the Spirit. And filled with the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit is two different things. Every saved man and woman ought to be filled with the Spirit. He's willing to give the Spirit to those that ask him. I'm going to say another thing. It's just as big a sin for you not to be filled with the Holy Ghost as it is to get drunk. And just don't get excited. Let me show you something else. This is what the Bible says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. There's a great similarity between a drunk man and a Spirit-filled man. Drunk man is usually brave. Holy Spirit-filled people have a holy boldness about them. Drunk man is usually loving. Spirit-filled people, behold how they loved one another. Drunk man is usually talkative. Spirit-filled people have something to say. Drunk man is usually liberal. Look out now. Drunk man is usually liberal. Spirit-filled people sold a possession and brought him and laid him at the apostles' feet, and great grace was upon them all. If you've got a Spirit-filled church, you'll never have a financial want. Amen. And a lot of these churches around here, if they had a Spirit-filled church, they wouldn't have to be running their churches with old turf roosters and soggy dumplings. Let me tell you that. You wouldn't have to do that. A runner with a garbage sale. Amen. Let me tell you something today. I believe if you give to God what belongs to God, you won't have any trouble. Here's an example. Here's a church. They're not in debt. Amen. They got money in the bank. I know some that's... I've just been in one or two recently, my friend, that just don't know which way to turn. I don't think a lot of it is by faith. I think it's by foolishness. Amen? I tell you, I believe that you ought to tithe your income. Now here's where we're going to go. I wonder if you're tithing. If you tithe. You say, Brother Lakin, I wouldn't hardly know how to get at my tithe. Well, if it is coming to you, you'd figure it out. Amen? How do you get at your income tax? You better get at it, or Uncle Whiskers will be around to see you some of these days. They've taxed everything in the world they can tax except the wind you breathe, and I've been expecting them to install a meter on my windpipe most any day now. Like a farmer said, I wouldn't know how to get at my tithe. I said, any fool can take one tater out of ten. That don't take a smart man. The tithe belongs to God. Fellow said, well, when I get out of debt, I'm going to start tithing. You'll never get out of debt. And after all, God didn't get you in debt. I'll tell you what got you in debt, that club plan. Dollar down and club the rest of your life. That's what got you in debt. Amen. You said, well, I've got some of my poor relatives to take care of. So have I. But that's my responsibility, not God's. And it's not right for me to take God's money and God's part and pay my bills with it. Amen? You know, fellow said, well, what part must I give? After I paid all my debts and everything, then I tithe the net. No, you don't tithe the net. Over the top. The gross. The first fruits, that belongs to God. Young fellow said to me the other day, Dr. Lakin, I'm going to give 15% this year. I said, why? Well, he said, I want to give God 5%. I'm going to try that, maybe give him 10. But he said, when I give 10%, I'm not giving anything. That's his to start with. Amen? But you said, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. You withhold your tithe, and you don't have to tithe but one tithe, pay one doctor bill, lose one day's work, God will get his part, amen. When you begin to do that, God's balancing his books. He'll get his part of it. If I could get God's people to give what belongs to God, you think what would happen in this land? If we'd give to God what belongs to him, tithing. The old boy up in the mountain, the old preacher up in the mountain said, I'll tell you one thing, you've got to pay your tithe. Unless you do, you're not going to make it, amen? I see a lot of farmers spending a lot of money on bean bug medicine and all sorts of spray stuff. If they tithe, they wouldn't have to buy that stuff. Why? Because, he said, if you'll tithe, I rebuke the devourer and the pestilence, and the vine shall not cast its fruit before the season. Try it one time and see. I was preaching in a church up in Illinois. Old boy that had gone up there from Kentucky, got a job as a hired hand, got saved. Somebody told him he ought to tithe. He started tithing. When I was there, he owned a big black land farm in Illinois, and he'd bought another one down in Ohio. And I said that night, if you're tithe, I'll rebuke the devourer and the pestilence, and the vine shall not cast its fruit before the season. And after the service, he came up and said, Dr. Lakin, that's the truth. He said, last year, the army worms went through this county and ate up every bean, every pea, the wheat, everything in this county except mine. And not a worm ever crossed the state highway or went into my field. I said, why? He said, because God told the angel, said, you go down there and tell those worms to beat it back the other way. Old Jim tithes his income to me. If you give God what's coming to God, he'll take care of you. Amen. Let me tell you something. You say, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. You'll be surprised how much further God makes the nine-tenths go. And he said, if you'll do it, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And he's willing to give the Spirit to those that ask. You said, well, I'd like to be filled. Well, most of us are too full already. We need to be emptied. He said, bring me empty vessels. Don't bring me a full one. Bring me empty vessels. I'll tell you what you're going to have to have. You're going to have the emptying. And you're going to have the feeling of the need of it. And you're going to have to realize the weakness of it. Take this life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Somebody asked me the other day, Dr. Lakin, how do you figure you've gone where you're at? Without formal education. And yet I've been honored by two universities. Was given a DD and a double LD. I went out to Clemson College and delivered the educational day address. Now think of that. And I didn't know a noun from a pronoun. Nor a preposition from a proposition. But there's one thing I knew. Once I was blind and now I see. I didn't know anything about. Somebody asked me if I knew anything about Greek and Hebrew. I said, I don't know Greek, Hebrew, Shebrew, or Homebrew. I don't know anything about that. And then he said, we talked about baptism. It's Ram T. Joe and Bab T. Joe. Yeah, grave E, grave I, grave O. But it just stopped when I was a kid. I didn't. And D.D., I was delighted with that, and my wife ruined it. When I came in and told her I was a doctor, and she said, honey, don't get elated about it, because that D.D. on a preacher's name's like a curl on a pig's tail. It looks pretty, but it don't make them old pig. Let me tell you that now. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Many days as I plowed a barefooted boy, plowed a mule around a rocky hillside, I looked up into the blue sky above and said, God, someday I'll amount to something. Take this life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. By day and by night, my meat and my drink has been to follow him. And I've given him the best that's in me. 55 years of it. Somebody said, when are you going to quit? Never. I love to preach. I don't think I'll die. I think Jesus will come. But if I should happen to slip out and have to go on over, I guess I'll go up there and sit around under the tree of life a few days and rest a little and say, Lord, if you don't mind, send me back down here and let me work a little more. I'll come back and take another hitch at it. Amen. Hallelujah.
You say, Brother Lincoln, I'd like to be filled. Well, you got to be emptied. You said, then I'll empty myself. No, you can't do that. That's a work of grace. But as he comes, if you open your heart and as he fills and fills, all the rest of it will be crowded out. And you'll become a God-intoxicated person. With thy spirit, fill me. You say, what's the Spirit doing for us in these days? First of all is this. He that believeth on the Son, don't turn in it, just he that believeth on the Son, at the witness in himself. The witness of the Spirit. The witness is never the truth itself, it's a testimony to a truth. He's witnessing to two things today. He's witnessing to the fact that what Christ did on Calvary, or what was a sufficient sacrifice. Because he said, if I go, I'll speak to the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. And when he came yonder to the heavens, then God sent back the Holy Ghost, which said, I have accepted the sacrifice which he made. And the second thing, he said, he sends his Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, and says that we have been accepted by God the Father because we have accepted the acceptable sacrifice. Don't have to ask the preacher. Don't have to ask the church. Why? Because you have the witness within. I believe the one thing that's damning this country today, this so-called easy believism. Amen? I believe the soul that's saved can know it's saved. He said, this is written that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, well, Brother Lincoln, I know I'm saved because the Bible says so. Well, I know too, because the Bible says so, but there's another way I know. I don't know when I was born in this world. My mother said I was born on June the 5th, 1901, at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, but I know I was born because I'm alive. Amen. Oh boy, at my home, wanted to go to the Holy Land, and he had to get him a passport, and he couldn't get one out of a birth certificate, and went up there, little courthouse, to get him a birth certificate, and they said, there's no record of your birth. See, way back in the mountains, we didn't have birth certificates. We didn't have birthdays. They said he's born in early bean picking or roasting time. That's the way we had it. Amen. So he went back and said, I can't get a birth certificate. And they said, well, you can't have a passport. And he said, but I can't get a birth certificate. They said, well, we got to have proof that you were born. And he said, well, I'm here. And then they asked him, they said, I'll tell you, maybe we can solve it this way. Do you know anybody that would make an affidavit that you were born? He said, I called my brother and said, would you come down here and tell these nuts that I was born? Thank God. You know that? I know, because his spirit bears witness with my spirit. I shall never forget that night. 55 years ago, the 12th day of last February at 8:45 Eastern Standard Time, in Wayne County, West Virginia, United States of America, out of the Forks of the Creek over on the left-hand side of the building of a little country church, I knelt at a little old homemade altar, and down the aisle he came with a crown of thorns on his head and a cross on his back and said, what can I do for you? And I said, Lord, do for me that I cannot do for myself. There wasn't any great demonstration that night, but there came a deep settled peace into my soul that will stand the crush of worlds. And I walked out of that little building that night, and my mother looked like she was walking on a sea of glass, and stars came out on dress parade, and the trees bowed down their head and said, we're glad. And as I walked over the little red clay hills, I sang, hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. And as Uncle Bud said, Jesus threw a whole chunk of salvation over heaven, hit me on the left side of the soul, and turned over a whole tub of honey, and it's been oozing out between the ribs now for 55 years. And tonight my pancake tree's loaded to the waterline, my honey pond's full to the brim. I got a bee gum in the backyard of my soul, hadn't been robbed this year. I believe my bees are going to swarm tonight. Eh? Do you know that you know? Oh, the old man's not gone yet. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's the way I know, the witness of the Spirit. Then he said, in the first chapter of Ephesians, he said, verse 13, he said, that whereby you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal is not put on a deed to complete a trade, but because the transaction's already been completed. So the minute it seals me with the Spirit, that means 'tis done, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I'm just as much saved in as will be when I've been in heaven 10 million years. Amen. Just like old Noah, the moment he went in and God shut him in, thank God he was saved. You know, you say Noah's work saved him. He couldn't work. He didn't have a hole he could put a paddle out and help pull. All he could do was sit in there and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. Sealed. And that denotes what? Security, but it denotes something else. It denotes ownership. That ye are not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies which are His. You have no right to do as you please if you're a Christian. You don't belong to yourself, amen? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. And the third thing was the earnest. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance? The seal, the witness, and the earnest. The earnest. My wife used to be a real estate broker. She said she never counted a deal made until she got the earnest money. But when she got the $1,000 or whatever it was down on it for the earnest money, that secured the transaction. And that said she had another big installment coming due later on. And the seal of the Holy Spirit secures the transaction, and that tells me that I've got another big installment coming due at the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. And it's reserved in heaven for me, that's kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. So he who reserves that inheritance will preserve the king, will preserve the child. Amen. I'm going to have a mansion in heaven, amen. Already got it fixed up. Lady said, you think you're going to make it? I said, already got it made. I'm seated in heaven, in heavenly places, amen. I heard a quartet singing one time for me, build me a mansion in over the hilltop. I said, don't stick me back over in the holler. I've been there all my life. I don't. Then they sang, give me a cabin in glory. I said, don't build me a cabin in glory. I just moved out of a huge log house a little over a year ago. I don't want that. No, give me a mansion down on the corner of Hallelujah and Glory Boulevard overlooking the River of Life where I can get up in the morning and catch fish out of it that long without any scales on them. That's what I'm looking for, my friend. Reserved in heaven for me, that's kept by the power of God. That's it. Suppose we go to heaven. I had a good old friend of mine. He believed he's saved, but still felt like he had a pretty good chance to get lost after all. But he's in my meeting one night. I said, I'm walking down the street of heaven. I see a big mansion right on the corner, and a big sign says, for rent. And I said, well, what's that for? And the angel said, well, you built it for old so-and-so, and he's sitting there, isn't he? And he fell from grace 2 days before he got here, and we had to rent it out. And I said, where's mine? They said, we built you one, but a cyclone blew it away. I believe the same God that preserves the inheritance will preserve the heir. Amen? Do you feel like you need a new touch from God tonight? He's willing to give the Spirit to those that ask. I just hadn't intended to preach on this tonight, and I felt like after it came I would, and I had the boy fill his Bible. Didn't need it. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I'm asking God to let me see a revival like I saw 40, 50 years ago. We're hearing a group of young people today that's never seen an old-time, old-fashioned Holy Ghost shouting revival. They've never seen one. Amen. I believe God's able to give it, don't you? Would you like to have power in your life tonight to make this book real and to make your and give you strength to work and strength to live and strength to witness and strength to lead others to Christ? Would you like that? Most all of my sermons this week's going to be to Christians. I think that's the need now, is a revival of Christians, amen? And getting them ready for the Lord's coming. For the Lord's coming. Let's stand a moment and bow our heads, will you please? This is a great crowd tonight.